right. Well, let's get over to Betty, and I think we can get a question and maybe an answer in even before the top of the hour, as they call it.
Okay, I've been listening to you all morning, and so I have...
Oh, you poor thing. I'm sorry.
A couple of brief things I wanted before my question. When you were talking about reducing the occlusion of arteries, I think I do maybe have a circulation problem going in one leg. And so I got all the products down. I actually already take two of these products, but I didn't get down what the dosages were for, like, the tocotrienols and the Super K and the niacin, and so I wanted to catch
that.
Well,
very, very fortunately, ma'am, I don't have to memorize the dosages because I know the dosage in two pills twice a day is going to do the job of both the tocotrienols and the Super K. Now, I can't tell you I know it's going to do the job for everybody. I'm very sorry I misstated that. I know it did that job for that engineer, and I know it's done the job for other people, but I can't tell you it'll work for everybody. The nice thing is it doesn't come with all the adverse side effects that the patent medicines do. Now, the
right,
niacin...
So you go twice a day for the tocotrienols and the Super K. How about the niacin?
The niacin is a 500 milligram time release. It really is better if you can get the time release down, even though it's a... And they make a 1,000 milligram time release, too, even though it's a little harder to swallow because it's big. And the reason for that is if we have... The fat-soluble vitamins, the tocotrienols and the vitamin A and the vitamin K, they hang around the body for a long time, as you know. But niacin is a B vitamin. It runs through the body rapidly. And so if we get the time release, then we have more of it circulating at all times. And that's what we want.
So if you get 500 milligrams, you take that how often then?
Oh, just twice a day if you get the time release.
So one pill twice a day.
Okay. Yeah.
I got that.
Okay, ma'am.
And the other thing was when you were talking about the chromium, and you said the sources were mushrooms and what else?
Brewer's yeast has got some in it.
What kind?
Brewer's yeast.
Oh, brewer's yeast. I couldn't quite hear what that other one was. Okay, now the rest of this I got thought out really good, so I can do it quite briefly, I think.
Well, ma'am, we've got just 40 seconds before we got to take our break, so go for it.
Okay. I'm trying to improve my digestive function and my extreme susceptibility to viruses. Actually, I'm really healthy. The only problems I have are intractable insomnia and this terrible susceptibility to viruses. I'm very skinny. I eat really well, and I get good exercise. Now, so what I've done is several years ago, I had
Ma'am, we're gonna have to wait till after the top of the hour. I hate to interrupt you, but the news will do so anyway. So hang in there. I heard the first part of what you said. Okay, well, back to Betty here with apologies for interrupting her. And Betty, I think you said you had in mind digestive function, not being so susceptible to viruses. And then you told me you were a bit on the thin side, but otherwise healthy. And then I had to interrupt you, so your turn, ma'am.
Okay, so several years ago, I had a prolapsed colon, so they snatched about a foot of it. And therefore, my colon doesn't absorb as much water as it should, and it doesn't distribute as many nutrients as it should. And also, I lost my tonsils and adenoids when I was about 5 years old and couldn't protest otherwise.
Right.
I have since given up gluten. And that seems to have improved a lifelong problem I've always had with gas. I still have it, but not near to the degree I had. So I think that may be where that's at. So at this point, I have gotten the virus situation. I've always had a problem with viruses, but it's gotten to the point where I just go from one to the other. And even the AMD bomb sometimes will not kill it, even in 3 days. And so I'm trying to figure out what else I can do to head them off, because I barely will finally extinguish one. And last time I had to continue with, you know, a lower level of A and B for a while, and then even silver. And finally I thought I'd gotten it, and a few days later here comes another one. So if you had this situation in your own life, what would you do in terms of treatments or supplements? I have heard recently that there's certain specific bacteria species that people are taking as probiotics that are for specific, you know, uses. I don't know if you know anything about that, but give me your wisdom as much as you can, okay?
Well, much as a god, anyway. I don't claim to know everything.
I know you're not God, but, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, well, you referred to that vitamin A and D bomb, which is used acutely when we're starting to come down with something. But are you using every day, adequate vitamin D to keep yourself up into the tropical optimal range of in the blood level?
I do, and in fact, my habit for quite a while on your recommendation is 50,000 of A and 5,000 of D. And I was tested, you know, quite some time ago, but I sure probably has changed a lot. Now I was at like 79 on the D, so I think I'm fine there.
That, it sounds very good. Now, the one other thing that some people use and some people don't, if they're trying to bolster their immune system, is a good amount of zinc. Zinc is absolutely critical to keeping the thymus gland as healthy as it can be. And you probably have heard someplace that autopsy physicians will say, oh, you can always tell anybody who's in their 80s or 90s, if we do an autopsy, why their thymus gland is basically non-functional. It's reduced to fibrous shreds and so forth. However, in experimental animals, it's been found that decline in function can be significantly slowed and sometimes even a little bit reversed if there's adequate zinc in the system. Now, the food that's highest in zinc happens to be oysters, but not everybody thinks that oysters are as yummy as some other people do.
And I'm not big on seafood. It's true.
Yeah. And probably the most practical thing is there are zinc supplements in the health food stores. There you might be wanting to work with a physician on that, because if we take a lot of zinc, it pushes copper out of the body. And if we take a lot of copper, it pushes zinc out of the body. And all I mean by a lot of is taking over a good long period of time. And some of us, because of the copper water pipes in our house, we already got a lot of copper, so we just plain old zinc will do the job. But others, we don't, and we should always be taking the zinc with copper. Now, there's another reason for getting your minerals checked, and I'd think about doing a hair mineral analysis, ma'am. And that is, you gave up gluten, and your gas symptoms got better, and you didn't notice a difference there, you're telling me.
Right, well, my gas situation got better.
Right.
My acid is still, I had that tested too, and it was like, it was supposed to come up to like 2, and it was only 1, but so it's not, you know.
You mean the hydrochloric acid in the tummy? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I had that, what do you call that, Heidelberg test.
Yeah.
Out there. And so it only came up to 1 instead of 2, but
yeah.
Giving up the gluten seems to have made me less gassy, which I've had that all my life. I think I inherited that from my dad. So.
Okay, well, there may be an even more important reason to consider talking to your doc about getting a hair mineral analysis done, because the hair mineral analysis certainly does tell us about zinc and copper and each individual mineral, but it also gives an overall picture of how well things are absorbing into the body. And a lot of times, a person will come on in, and I'll look at that mineral analysis, and I'll say, anybody in your family gluten sensitive? Just simply because that gluten sensitivity, even if a person has quit eating gluten, the intestinal lining does not always restore itself to full absorptive capability. And you did say you were still on the thin side. And I've run into people who gave up gluten 15 years ago, and yet they're still showing traces on their mineral analysis of gluten-induced malabsorption. And so what do you do then if you already gave up the gluten? Well, there are things that can help strengthen the lining of the gut. One of them is called 5-hydroxytryptophan, by the way, and it's not just tryptophan, it's the 5-hydroxy. It's been found to help the gut regenerate some, 5-hydroxytryptophan. But also, there's a very common inhabitant of the gut that has always been in human insides in small, small amounts. But since the advent of antibiotics wiping out all its competition, that candida microorganism has grown and grown and grown to where it occupies a large proportion of the growing space in the gut. And some Dutch researchers, and I will shut up in a moment, some Dutch researchers were able to flat out prove that gluten originally gluten-caused malabsorption can be perpetuated if there's too much candida down there, because the candida trigger pushes the same buttons the gluten pushed originally. So you might be looking at that, ma'am, because the one issue is zinc. And do you have enough of that in you, or should you take some? With or without copper, that really boosts the immune system. The zinc is the number one thing that does. And the second issue is this gluten problem. And, oh, gee whiz golly, are you really absorbing everything as well as you should? Because most of us are not gifted with being skinny when we're older. We're usually gifted with being a little bit too fat.
Also, being skinny has to do with maybe some not absorbing properly?
Correct. Exactly, ma'am.
But I've always been skinny. That has.
And you've always had gluten. You've always,
because I lost all the fat layer, you know, when you get older. But
ma'am, you've always been skinny because you've always been gluten sensitive. We're always born with that. We're just not told, and we don't know. And people who have gluten sensitivity don't absorb well from day one.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I thought being skinny was good, but I've always...
It is, but not in a person with gluten sensitivity. It may be good and it may not, and you have to investigate to see, is my skinniness just me, or was it that gluten did it to me?
Ah, that's very interesting. As far as the zinc is concerned, what is a quote-unquote good amount?
Okay, a safe amount, and anything past that, take it up with your physician, skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, is 30 milligrams a day, and then most manufacturers know that, and that's what they got out there. And the most absorbable form, if your system is absorbing well, is called zinc picolinate, P-I-C-O-L-I-N-A-T-E. But you really do need to find out if you should be taking that from the manufacturer that puts copper in it, or from one of the manufacturers that doesn't put copper in it. Because, like I say, most of our homes are plumbed with copper water pipes, and some of us get plenty of copper from just that, the water, and others of us don't have enough copper. So there we are.
Okay. All right. So I have some good ideas there where I need to go then, and that's helpful. This virus sensitivity has just gotten worse and worse and worse. Is that a function
gotcha.
Of age or...
No, ma'am. I know some people into their 80s who've got their immune systems pretty darn strong and don't catch anything except for every once in a long time.
Okay, so it might be related to just not absorbing minerals properly then.
If that's going on, and you'll need some help with a mineral test and your doctor who knows how to read those mineral tests.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have a great day, and get out and get some of that sun once you can escape.
Oh, you too, ma'am. We all need to get out and get some of that sun. It's so rare.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're welcome.